Hey, good morning. Let's get ready for a morning together. We're going to have a good excitement morning. So let's begin with a word of prayer and then do some hymns and then let's get some learning done about the young people. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the opportunity we have to tell others of Christ. How grateful we are that we get to tell it to young people. Spread the gospel. Spread the teaching of the Word of God. Pray this morning we'll be glorifying to Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, let's begin with a hymn.
Turn with me and join us in singing 304. Would you join me in singing hymn number 304, which is Send the Light. Scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 16. For us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know these things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit for God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
All right, once again, would you turn to number 281? Would you join us in standing to sing number 281, which is We Have a Story to Tell?
Bobby's been doing really, really well, and we'll just continue to hear things that are going good by him. And yesterday he was doing really well. Now, did we really know anything other than yesterday? Okay, so he's doing good. All right, now, Kip, what do we got going on there? Your family.
Oh, well, I got Joanna is still waiting for the doctors to put their teeth.
Still?
Like my wife said,
they
right,
don't
this is grease.
They don't want to do it.
Just they got to hurry up. I mean, it's a ticking time bomb, or aneurysm in her aorta. So just prayers that she'll make it to the surgery and that the surgeons will do a good job and fix it.
Okay. So, all right. So what should we be in prayer?
that you will hang in there and not have a problem with it until they can get the surgeons to. So pray for her health and pray for the surgeon's expertise.
Okay.
They'll do the right thing.
Okay. All right, what other prayers do we have? Any other? Yes.
Two of the men that work for me have cancer diagnosis. One has had a very successful liver operation already, and the prognosis looks good. The other one, very young, just turned 40. And
that's young.
Skin cancer, yes, and has three little boys. So praying for good outcome there.
Do we know if either or both are believers?
They are.
Good. Okay. That's very joyful. All right. Okay, anything else we have? Yes, hon.
Monday, which is the night we usually do our Bible study at our house, we have extended it. All the kids that have come to our house are graduated this as of this year. So we have extended it to some of the high schoolers that were at camp with us this year. So be in prayer that if God wants us to continue opening up our home to our community during the week, that those new group of kids will start to come forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Please let me know as it gets better. Okay, what else do we know? All right, yes.
I do have one more. It's a little bit selfish for myself. I have put this off and put this off, but they're going to give me a new knee on Wednesday.
Oh.
I've been trying to duct tape it. So my doctor's kind of rolling his eyes, like, if you would stay home, we could get this done.
Is your husband right there with you?
Yes, I'm grounded. My bass boats are on the trailer.
Wow,
dude. Oh, yeah, this is going to be wonderful.
Okay, yes.
I just want to ask for a prayer for Nick. We're leaving this afternoon for orientation for Nick for Oklahoma State.
Oh, wow.
He's very excited. He's getting very nervous, which has come out in his prayers of the family in the last couple of days. It's hitting them that this is coming, so prayers that just God would give them peace and just direct the steps.
How long is that going to take? How long will he be in it? This week?
Orientation is just a couple of days.
Oh, okay, please, okay.
But just people that God's going to put in his path that he's going to meet, that he can encourage and share Christ with.
Good.
That they can encourage him. And just as of right now, he has no roommates. They said don't expect that will stay. So we have no idea who he's going to room with. But all those little parts and pieces that we kind of forget as we get older what a big deal it is when taken off. But
that's good.
Pray for him.
How about y'all? This is the last one out of the nest.
This is
So, are we changing the locks and running?
We are not going anywhere. Anyway, where the Lord leads, right? Where the Lord leads. But one of the kids has been coming to youth groups off and on.
No, they're going to get an RV and go from state to state.
Finish that around the world.
Have you seen the gas prices?
So,
yeah,
we're going to make sure we can afford to keep him in school.
All right, any other prayers? Statements or anything? Okay, people, we need to continue to be in prayer. We've got other things going on. We got the young people getting ready. When's the next camp?
A year from now.
Year from now?
No, we have camp wise. We're jury's out. We got to figure out the timing. We got to work with the different groups to see what works. But we'll have something at least early. Early 2023.
Okay.
And then also our spring retreat. We're looking at possibly some other stuff, but that's jury's out on that.
Okay. Very good.
He's out on that.
Do what?
He's out on that.
Yes. All right.
As he leaves.
All right. Very good. Let's see. And then we've got is everything going pretty good now with purchase?
The internet is going very well. We got one last piece of prey that finally came. You know Amazon. You order one and then two weeks later it shows up. That way we say it's supposed to show up like
overnight.
Yeah, overnight. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's the last part we hope to install today, and everything will stop rattling. And the video behind you.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's have a word of prayer and get ready for our offertory. Heavenly Father, we consider it a privilege to be part of your plan, spreading of the gospel, teaching of the word of God, all the things that we have going on here. Father, we pray you'll continue using this assembly. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. We got one more hymn, and then we're going to turn it over to the young people.
Let's see. Would you turn to number 461? 461 is I Love to Tell the Story. 461.
Four eight was really big.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love
let's turn things over, Tony, and y'all and the young people, and it's all yours.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being here this morning. I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about camp and some of the amazing things that have occurred at camp that we want to tell you about. I haven't put a whole lot of people on notice, but I'm going to put a few people on the spot as we talk here. But let's open in prayer. And hi, I'm Chris Dagg. I'm part of the camp director team that we have running the youth ministry.
So I was asked to say that. So. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. We praise you for all that you do through Spring Valley Bible Church and through the youth ministry and the outreach. Father, we're humbled to be a part of this. We're humbled to just to be able to be used by you to shine your light into the hearts of young people. And Father, what a blessing it is to see that light shine back in so many different ways. And Father, as we tell the story today about the things that we have observed, the things that we see, and the things that you do, I just pray, Father, it's a blessing for all those here and all those that hear. Father, we thank you for these things in Christ's name. Amen. I wanted to start off telling a couple of stories of God's provision. And we have an amazing staff, and we are so blessed at the camp and in this youth ministry outreach to have a group of young people, and officially young people, although I do enjoy the part where you keep saying that about us. But we're talking about college students and early 20s and even up into the late 20s, young people that just keep wanting to come back. And they just keep wanting to come back, and they want to be a part. There was one point in our deal here where we had 39 campers and 45 staff. We weren't sure how that financially was going to work out, but he knew. We ended up ultimately with 70 or so campers and 40 staff. And but they just want to keep being a part. And so, y'all, as we do our fundraising, and God continues to provide, and you all are a big part of that, we've decided at some point, I think we just finally gave up on trying to figure out how to do it otherwise. It's part of the ministry. These young people coming back and serving is just part of the ministry. And if we have 75 staff and 10 campers, we're having camp, and we're going to do it because that is where God's taken this and whoever is there is blessed. So the quick story of provision, and Larry, I'm going to put you on the spot because I want you to tell about the band coming up, if you would.
Sure.
When we got there on Friday, I was, as you all know, I've been having some health challenges and been running hard trying to be a part of getting all this stuff together. But the weeks before this all was going on, was getting ready to happen, I was 50% at best, and we got to camp and I was 25%. At best. And so there were some challenges there for me to have to take a step back and say, God, you got it. And I'm looking around this room of staff that are walking in at 11 o'clock on a Friday. I'm looking at these people that I have just been so honored to serve with. And they had it. They had it. And they did it. I mean, there was one point, it was 2 hours into the camp, and I had to go to lay down and take a nap, literally, because I was going to fall over. And I didn't have to worry about anything. It just ran, and God did it, and they did it. And so I just wanted to call that out, that God provides absolutely everything we need, and it is such an amazing thing to see. And so there's one more story. I don't want to get a whole lot more details there, but suffice to say, the whole camp, the staff stepped up, God stepped up. He always does, but and it just ran, and it was a blessing. And we'll talk about that in more in a second. But I would like Larry, if you would, to tell us just a quick second. Can you come up here since it's on video? Just tell us, if you would, the kind of what we saw with how the whole band thing was happening and how Sunday morning.
Hello, I'm Larry Wise, and as Chris said, we have the pleasure of working together to put camp on for all of our community kids, and thank you to you guys for blessing us to be able to do that. One of my jobs at camp is to help the music team come together, and in the years past, we have had everything from volunteers to be our music team to most recently, over the past 3 or 4 years, we've actually paid a band to be part of our music team. And worship team, excuse me. And as the worship team was coming together for this year, parts and pieces of it were sort of falling apart from what I saw from the human viewpoint. And as we came closer to camp, we started to have to enlist some of our young staff to be part of that worship team, which was not hard to do. All I needed to do was ask and find out that there were people that had gifts that wanted to participate. And by doing that, we ended up with one of our young staff, Henry Ward, stepping up to play percussion for us for the whole week. He was also a counselor, but he said, sure, I'll do that. He was also on the activities team, so he did all of those things. And then one of our young staff has been a vocalist with the band for the last 4 years. So she took on a little bit more of a role there. But as we actually showed up for camp, the day of camp, a couple things happened. Well, leading up to it, I had had some conversations with some young people who were interested in perhaps learning a little bit about camp and worship. And as a result of that, I found out our worship team could not be there Sunday morning. They weren't available. And the guy who leads worship for us that we have paid in the past said, well, if you have anybody on staff that has any talent, I can probably mentor them along and get them up to speed to lead worship on Sunday. I'm like, okay, God, you we're going to sing really loud, as Herman says. It's a joyful noise, and we're just going to sing right along with them. Well, these kids stepped up, kids, they're in their 20s, and they practiced on Friday, the day we got to camp. I met with them several times on the phone before. We got them the music. They practiced on Saturday. And by Sunday morning, you guys, they looked at me and they said, we're doing this next year. They want to take over the whole thing. The kids were so excited in the camp because those were their counselors. Those were the people they played games with. Those were the people they connected with. And these kids are all, you know, reaching out to me saying, what can we do to be part of the worship team next year? So God not only provided what we needed this year, Brian had to go out and buy a cajon within 2 hours of camp starting because we didn't even have an instrument for percussions. So it all just like fell into place, and now we have a cajon and a guitar and people that want to sing and play, and we have a band for next year. So I'm happy to say we have, what are they called? They're the first string strings. That's what they call themselves. Yes, we've been praying about this for a very long time. Dalton had suggested that we find kids who had an interest in music and we would bring them along. So God's answered this prayer from at least 10 years ago. Yes, Martha?
I'm just curious. I don't know that instrument. What is
it? Cajon? It's a box with a hole in it. And you sit on it and it literally, it's like a drum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, yes, thank you so much. Yeah, Fassel actually has played, well, it's something like that. But it gets all the difference. It's
this big,
but it gets all the different sounds. You can get a bass drum sound out of it, a snare drum sound out of it. You can get, I mean, it's really cool. And
will it be a couple of pictures?
Yes.
There's probably one.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Larry. And so with that, God continues to provide. I do want to take a moment. I'm not going to say all the names, but suffice it to say, y'all, from a thank you standpoint to the staff, that this is a year-round deal. This isn't, hey, 3 weeks before camp, let's start queuing up, let's get stuff put together. Between the multiple retreats and the weekly youth groups and the big camp, it's a year-round ministry, and we have a ton of support, and that's in this room, that's online, that's folks that do the administration. So Terry and Leslie specifically, they never really get to come to camp to see what's going on all the fruit of the labor that's happening. And the congregation, y'all continue to financially support. Spring Valley Bible Church has been beautiful in working all of this and providing. The Lord provides, and we thank you for all of that. There are so many people that are involved in fundraising that, you know, Phil and Pat, that you guys probably don't see it, but unless you've come by their house and seen the huge volumes of flowers that are sitting out in front and they're organized, and there's a ton of work that goes into that too. So like I said, I'm not going to say call everybody out because I will miss somebody, but suffice it to say there's a ton of people to say thank you. And it's incredibly, we're incredibly blessed to have that support. I did want to talk about a couple of things before I jump into the teaching summary. Actually, I'm going to jump into the teaching summary, and then we'll come back to the couple of things that were just awesome. So if you would, please grab a Bible. And I keep getting this thumping sound, so I'm trying to avoid it on the microphone. 1 Corinthians 10. Here, if you're not sure, just read it right here. 1 Corinthians 10:31 is where we're going. This was our verse for the week, and I can tell you that the kids walked away and they know this one. They know this one. In years past, we've had a verse and then we've gone to different places, but man, we drilled this one home this year, and it's just really, really awesome. So 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." And glorify, as you can see on our shirt. That's our theme. That was our theme. And y'all, it was so awesome to have Fassel did the majority of the big group teaching. So the way we separated it is we have big group teaching, so we'll have the older kids in the morning and the younger kids in the vice versa. But we have a group with the older kids all together while the younger kids are off doing small group, and then we have this in the afternoon, we flip that. And the younger kids will be with the big group teaching, and the older kids will be off doing small group. So we separate those two things so that they can just have different conversations. And Fassel came in and did the teaching. And in this, we went through the gospel. We went through Christ glorifying the Father in His submission to the cross. We got into our obedience in faith glorifies God, and that's what we are called to do. And then we got into the power of the Spirit is the way that we can have all that obedience of faith in order to glorify God. And the whole weekend was about glorifying God. We talked about the gospel on the first day and just laying out what God has done for us and how in what He has done for our salvation and us, for allowing us to be able to be reconciled to Him, all the things that He has done. Y'all, we that have been believers for a long time, sometimes we lose sight of what God did. And that's for a brand new believer, and we're going to talk about some baptisms in a second that occurred. But for a brand new believer to see that in their eyes when they go, "Are you kidding me?" They did not say that, but when looking at their faces and seeing that realization that God did this for us, Christ submitted Himself to the cross to be crushed by His Father who was pleased to crush Him for us, why wouldn't we want to glorify Him? How could we not want to glorify Him? And it all starts with salvation. The rest of it, guess what? That's what the journey is all about for the rest of our lives. And so we spent a lot of time talking about not only the gospel, and we had put together a plan for all the non-counselor staff. And every one of the staff that was not a counselor were given these glorify bands that Larry has on. Their wristbands that kids think they're cool. Like, you know, see some kids that wear 20 of them and stuff. And so they say glorify. And then they have 1 Corinthians 10:31. And what we were all tasked to do, privileged to do, was every one of us that were not in the cabins with them, because the counselors talk to them all the time, right? They spend the whole day with them, and they're in devotions with them. They're in small group with them. But we had the privilege of going around. We were assigned a number of kids, and every single one of us went around and we talked to those kids that we were assigned, five or six kids, and we talked to them. Do you know the gospel? What do you think about the gospel? Let's make sure you're straight on the gospel. Let's understand. And just got to know them. And these were assigned like 2 weeks before we went to camp. And every one of us were asked to pray by name for each one of these kids that we were going to talk to for the 2 weeks before camp. It was incredible. What an amazing thing to see God working in us to prepare us to sit across from a kid and make sure they understood the gospel. And that all started with prayer 2 weeks before we even got there. And we could look at them in the eyes. One of the young men I was talking to, I said, "I've been praying for you for 2 weeks. You don't even know who I am. I've been praying with you for you for 2 weeks. Let's talk about this." And it just opened up just some amazing things. And so it was The first part we were talking about was the gospel. The second was Christ glorifying his Father. Then us in obedience through faith glorifying the Father and the Son. And then us being powered through the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. And so you saw the whole gamut of how we are able to glorify God. We offer nothing. But He shines His light into us. We shine it into the through us into the world. And He is glorified. We shine a light in the world and it reflects back to Him. That's how God's glorified. I want Lori to come up, if you would, and just take a couple of minutes to talk about the small group teaching, because that was the big group teaching that we were talking about. And Lori, we use these. You guys can get a copy of this, but this is our small group teaching. It's all put together, and I'll let you talk about what that looks like.
Hi there. I'm Lori Daig, and just want to share a little bit, also a privilege of being part of the director team, which we told the rest of the staff that really just means, how can we help you? We're here to support you. They're doing it. They are doing it. And we're just there trying to walk around and pray for them, help where needed, and let them handle it. But I just want to tell you guys, I woke up this morning and just thinking about this, Jim Langston cooking bacon, that was what was on my mind this morning. So I just want to tell you guys, that was so strong in my head, like God just saying, I'm going to equip you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to show you what to do. I'm the one doing it. You just need to be obedient and don't hinder it. And Jim Langston cooking bacon was in my head. So that's what this ministry has been. That's what this camp has been. Every single person that's been a part over all these years, we're just to be obedient to Him. So I'm thankful for that memory. And Nell, you too, you guys up working in the kitchen. Jeff and Steve, you guys helping get people on the bus. Like, God was just pouring all that in my head this morning. So just wherever God's leading you, you know, your neighborhood with your family, He's at work, you know. I mean, Liberty Youth Ministries is just happens to be the ministry in front of us that He gives us to share the truth of His Son and what He's doing in all of our lives. And we are so thankful. Small group, just quickly. We always try to give a visual or just an example so the kids can grab onto that and really see it. So when we were talking about God being glorified, God the Father being glorified by the obedience of Christ on the cross for our sins and how He displayed His love for all of us. I'm trying to see everybody over there. I know. Sorry, guys. I like to talk to people. Y'all are people. I'm sorry. First of all, just giving this image of the cross, and really for these kids, because they're going into fourth grade up through 12th grade. So what the cross is this really ugly, dark, awful symbol in time, the Roman times, right, to crucify and torture criminals. That's what it was. That's what it was. And so just talking about, think about what God did with that. He took something so ugly and dark and just full of no hope, and He laid His Son on that cross to bear every one of our sins and made it into something that is light and hope and sacrifice and love. When we see that cross now, we're asking the kids, do you think of Roman torture when you see a cross? No. What do you think of? I think of Jesus. I think of His love and what He has done for every one of us. That's what God does. That's what He does in every one of our lives that apart from Him are nothing. He takes a life that other people may say is hopeless and is dark and is tragic, and He uses it for His glory, and He shines His light through it. And we wanted these kids to know that Jesus died for every single one of them, and that they are created with purpose. They are created for with at least one unique gift that He's given them. And we wanted them to leave knowing that they are loved and that God sent His Son for them. So that was really the first day that we were just focusing in on that. And then the next day, God glorified in your life. And Chris kind of alluded to it, but again, the visual was a kaleidoscope, a piece of glass and a kaleidoscope that has many scratches and things in it that when it's the light is shown through it, these brilliant light colors are just that you can't even imagine. Shapes, designs, and colors are just refracted all over the place and reflected. And that is you. That's what we're telling the kids. That is us. We are this imperfect thing that just all by itself looks like no big deal. And then God takes his light and he shines through it. And when we trust him, brilliant light that glorifies our Father, our Heavenly Father, is refracted to people all around us. And it's reflected back to him, his glory. And we glorify him in those things. We talked about, well, wait a minute, God, can God really use me? What about times I've messed up? I mean, like really messed up, because a lot of these kids are carrying that, you know. And we talked about Psalm 139, you are beautifully and wonderfully made, that God has made you from the womb, every hair on your head is known, every mistake that you've made, everything in your life, God is going to use that for your good and for his glory, in Romans 8:28. So lots of scripture we shared with them, lots of things for them to take home in their book, whether they use it or somebody else finds it. We want them to have the scripture and just know the truth of the word of God and how he is glorified and all those things. So I think that's it. I just wanted to be piggyback on the praying for the kids thing. One thing we did different this year that we had not done is 4 weeks before camp, we started getting on, y'all know Zoom. You guys know Zoom, right? Yeah. If you've lived during COVID, you know Zoom. We got on Zoom and just said 4 weeks before camp, once a week, we're going to get on anyone that can and we're going to pray together. We're going to pray together and we're going to get in the Word and we're going to be studying together. We're going to be teaching the kids at camp and we're going to be unified in the Spirit. That's what God calls us to do. So staff that we're getting on there from, I'm just telling y'all, all over different states or parts of Texas, go to different churches, wherever. We're united in Christ and on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And we are one in spirit to pray. And that was the Spirit leading us to do that. And that was such a blessing that we could come together and know that we were unified in that for glorifying God. So, lots of things to tell. Thank you guys for listening. Such a privilege and such a blessing.
Awesome, thanks. So I wanted to take just a moment and talk about just some really cool stuff that happened up there. And so, Brian and Larry, I'm going to ask you guys to come up too, and Lori, since we're the four that were actually physically there and saw some of these things happening, so you guys can come on up. But I wanted to talk to, first thing, we ended up doing baptism. So I know we don't have a baptismal in here, but at camp, there's a big baptismal, and it's pretty awesome. And we had five campers and staff that ultimately had requested to be baptized. And I won't go into all the details. They have to call their parents if they're a camper, because they're not in our church, y'all. And the last thing we're going to do is create an issue with somebody else's family with regards to how they handle baptism and all of that. So they call their parents. If they get permission, then they can be baptized, and we invite their parents to be a part. And in this particular case, there's a young man that last year was I would say what's the word, challenging. He's a very large 17-year-old young man, and he's loud. He's very loud. Lori and I have known him for, I don't know, 10 years now, 8 years now, something like that. Long time. He lives in our neighborhood, and this young man is has been, over the course of growing up, someone that everybody wanted to. You're a problem. You need to go over there. You need to go somewhere else. And he started coming to our youth group. At some point, Laura and I were looking at him when he showed up, and we're like, where did that come from? But we know. And he started coming to the youth group. It was occasional. And then last, over the course of the few years, he started coming a little more frequently, and he started asking a lot of questions. And he just had this desire to know God. And the more he would come to youth group, the more we would find out he knows a good amount. I mean, he knew some scripture. He understood some things. He grew, his family, his mom is not a believer. It's not in his home. His dad is, but he lives somewhere else. And over the last year when he came to camp, man, he was a major, major distraction. And he called this year and said, hey, can I come to camp? Like 2 days before the registration closed, because we're all looking at each other going, hey, he didn't sign up. I don't have to have this conversation. that's horrible to say, but it's in your head, right? Because one of the things, well, he calls 2 days before registration is closed, and Laura and I looked at each other like, oh, I guess we have to have that conversation. And so we came to, the conversation ended up ultimately being, you can't be a distraction. If you're a distraction, I'm going to ask you to leave. But yes, you can come to camp. By all means, we want you to be a part. We want you to learn. But please come with the understanding that you're here to glorify God. That's what we're talking about. And we said, and one of his responses was, well, I'm trying, but I can't, I'm not consistent. Not only in behavior, but in learning. And he wanted to learn more. So Lori and I sat down with him and said, okay, why don't you start coming every day? 2 weeks before camp, come every day. We're going to sit down with you, and we're going to study the Word, and we're going to open the Bible, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to learn together, and let's get you started on consistency. Well, we didn't hit every day, but we hit a bunch of days, sitting down with him, and we started looking at the book of Samuel, talking about David and David and Goliath, and he just was a sponge, just absorbing this, and he gets to camp. And man, it was locker room variant shows up, right? And football, think of football locker room, this kid's 6'3" at least, weighs 285 pounds. He doesn't have to do anything and he knocks people over, right? It's just that kind of, and so immediately we have this conversation of you can't do these things. You've got to, it's not conditional, but you've got to get it under control at some level. Otherwise, you're just a distraction. And we had a heart-to-heart. Lori had a heart-to-heart. And he came to us Saturday, and said, I love the Lord. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to get baptized. And so we baptized this 6'4", 285-pound young man. And when we pulled him up out, his mom was there. She's not a believer. His dad was there, who is a believer. They've been estranged for a period of time now. But he and his wife showed up. And we pull him up out of the water, and we look up, and his dad is just, the tears are pouring down his face. And Varian is this young man's name. And Varian was just overwhelmed with, yes, it's an emotional thing. And he, believe me, they understand it. But he was overwhelmed. And he went over to his dad and to his friends. And they threw their arms around him, and they're cheering him on, and the tears are, and tears are coming down his face and his family's face, and all I hear is, I did it. He accepted me. And I'm tearing up now. You should see me in the water. Thank God there was water, because I would have been like a blubbering fool. It was amazing. And so, yeah. Does God get his point home to these kids? You better believe it. And so that's my story. I know I took longer than I meant to, but Herman, I don't know if I'm going to get any time back. I always tell you it's going to be 30 minutes, it's an hour, but next, who wants to?
I just want one more baptism story. Leading up to camp, you guys know Mackenzie's a teacher for fourth grade in Plano, and she has connected with her students in all different ways, but somehow it came up that she had been going to camp as a child or had been a counselor at camp, and one of the kids asked her about it. And so she was able to speak to this child's mom out of the classroom, and the mom became very excited about our camp and actually shared it with several other parents at school. And so a few of those students signed up to come to camp with us, which we had over 30 new students this year join us, campers, and our fourth grade class, which is our youngest, fourth and fifth, was probably one of the biggest new influx of campers, which is what we've been praying for a while. Very great answer to prayer. So some of these young people came from Mackenzie's school, and so she decided she wanted to come help register the kids for camp the first day. She and Blake came, and I say this to you because these connections God's building with our previous staff and our now young incoming. Well, this particular child decided, she was a light throughout the camp, I will say, but she decided the day, Sunday, when they had to make this decision, or Saturday, to be baptized, that she wanted to be baptized. So this little fourth grader tells us she wants to be baptized, and we made the call to her parents. Chris and Lori spoke to them. And when Chris asked if Bella could be baptized, they said yes, and could we be baptized with her? And so the entire family, Chris began was able to speak to them before baptism, so a little bit more clearly about baptism, about what they were accepting Christ, and it was the most beautiful thing. So then Mackenzie and Blake ran back out there because the mom called her and said, can you please be here to watch us be baptized? And it was just such a joy to watch the entire family as it was it Acts? When was it with the whole group of people would be baptized? Yeah, they would all be baptized together. It was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I don't know, baptisms this year were very special. Cameron, Lori's going to share that story with you, but it is one of the highlights, for sure, of our camp, and I'm so glad that we decided to incorporate that after many years of not doing it. So,
Brian?
I'm a worker. I'm not a talker.
And you work very hard.
He does work very hard.
And quickly, the two staff that were baptized, one, Tyrus, who many of you guys have met and grew up Catholic, I will say is a new believer in the last 3-4 years. He came to camp the year before his senior year in high school and has come as staff ever since. And about 2 weeks ago, we were talking to him, and so y'all know, he's made the decision to go into ministry. And he went to Texas Tech with business as his major, not even thinking. Ever since we've known him, he's like, how can I make $1 million and have the net? And I'm not saying that he won't. But I will tell you that he shared with all of us that God has put on his heart that he is to go into ministry and he is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing thing. So Tyrus is baptized. His parents came out for that. Every time one of these kids or young adults comes out of the water for baptism, there is so much cheering and they are surrounded by so many of their peers and friends and families, hugs and just cheering like you can't believe. It's just an incredible thing. But the other staff that was baptized was our son Cameron Dake. So Cameron had never been baptized. He is a believer, and he knows it is not a salvation issue, as do all these people baptized at our camp, that this is a proclamation of what's already happened to you. But, you know, Ben was the first of our kids to be baptized up at Texoma, and then Nick. And Cameron's been praying about this for a long time and just has had some amazing. He and Addie have found a new church in Levon. Lots of great conversation with their pastor out there and what it means to be a believer. And Cameron's been on a journey. Anyway, Cameron was baptized, and, of course, Addie was there, and their new pastor came out and everything. But just such a witness and a testimony, I think, for everybody there. So it was special to be a part.
Brian, you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
No, all right, thanks, y'all. It's not about the baptisms themselves. And we make sure we sit down with every one of these young people and their parents, if necessary, in this particular case, that family. And we make sure they understand that baptism is a beautiful ritual that is expressing the reality that has already occurred. And that's how we talk to them about this. It's not required for salvation. It's not required. I mean, had a conversation with somebody who wanted to have a bit of a dispute about that. I asked them the question. I said, so if I believe today and I'm a believer and I walk across to go get into the lake and I get hit by lightning and I don't get baptized, am I saved or am I not? And so we make sure that it's extremely clear and that it is a reflection and a celebration of the reality that has already occurred in the believer, the baptism of the Spirit. And so they know it. They understand it. I don't know that, the ones that we baptize agree with it. I don't know that everybody would agree with it, but that's where we are. And so thank you, Pastor Maddox, on that teaching, by the way, because it makes it really clear and really easy to explain. And so, like I said, I don't want to go too long-winded. I could talk about it for hours. I won't. We're going to do a quick slideshow because we want to make sure that you guys... here's the thing I'm going to ask. Just look at the faces. Look at the smiles on the faces and the joy that you can see. Yeah, they're at camp, and campers they have fun, but there is a level of joy that just surrounds this time that's pretty amazing. So would you do the honors? Let me get the TV on. Awesome. Well, pictures of camp and stories behind it, so much more to tell. Why did you turn me off? Okay. But we're going to close in prayer. Herman, I apologize. I didn't leave you your 30 minutes to teach anything. We've only done this 12 years now, and I still haven't figured out that we take all the time allotted. So a couple of things that I wanted to touch on as we get ready to pray. First of all, we are always blessed to have Fassel and Carrie when she can come. Mm-hmm. Carrie was taking care of their friend where they actually live, Dottie, and she's 80 something or other, I don't know, but she needs some assistance, and so Carrie stayed back, but Fassel keeps coming. He just keeps coming. I mean, 10 years now, I think that another time I'll tell you the story how we met Fassel, but it was awesome. And he keeps showing up. He came to our camp, went home, went to another camp, and is leaving on the 30th to head back to Pakistan for 3 months. So please be in prayer for Fassel.
Pakistan.
Things are good. I mean, obviously they're still in a hostile area, but the church, his church, continues to grow. The outreach to other ministers, other pastors, and he's teaching seminary classes to his other pastors to continue to be able to expand. He said that before COVID, the Christian community was 2%, maybe, and they are looking at being over 4% of the population is Christian, and it continues to grow. So be in prayer for Pakistan. Be in prayer for Pakistan in a big way. The other thing on Carrie and Fassel, they have an orphanage, and the orphanage has 24 or so people. They've also been taking in Afghan refugees. And so they've got a number of Afghan refugees that their church is providing for and trying to make sure that they're in a good place. So please be in prayer for the orphanage and for their outreach there with regards to Afghan refugees. Be in prayer for their church. Be in prayer for the Pakistani people as the gospel continues to spread. And personally for Fassel and Carrie, they have two kids that they have spiritually adopted. Little Carrie, who's 14 years old, and they adopted their brother's son, Israel, when he was a little one. I mean, like, little baby. And so he's about 3 now, and they've been trying to officially, legally adopt for the last 3 years. They have an adoption agency that has picked up their request, and they've gone through a bunch of stuff right now with regards to getting prepared to go back over and do another opportunity to make their case to officially adopt these kids, and in doing so they would be able to travel with them back to the United States and be able to be their kids, right? And right now they can't leave, they can't come out of the country to the United States. So when Carrie and Fassel come back here, they stay behind. Our prayer there is one, that works out the way that God wants it to. And my second request there is, Fassel and Carrie are provided for through Grace Bible Church Pakistan. That's their ministry. This is a personal thing. They got to raise $13,000 in order to get this this adoption request in front of the right people and get the adoption agency. It's all lawyers. You guys know how it works. Well, maybe you don't know the adoption stuff, but when you say it's all lawyers, go ahead and start stroking big checks, right? And so, anyway, if you have an interest in supporting Fassel and Carrie, it's not through Grace Bible Church Pakistan. So anything we send there goes to the ministry. They can't use that other than what salary they're paid out of that. If you would like to give a grace gift to Fassel and Carrie directly, let me know. We will get that to them, but it has to be to them directly for this adoption. So, anyway, prayers there.
Can we do a GoFundMe or something like that?
We certainly can. I don't know how to do that, but yes, we certainly could do something like that. They might have something like that. Anyway, so that's what I've got. Any questions, concerns? Hopefully no concerns. Any questions, issues, things you guys want to know about with regards to camp? Any ads?
Just two people we did not mention specifically that's part of our director team, Ray and Aaron.
Oh my goodness, yes.
You speak a minute on that. I know we didn't talk, but I would just...
Yes, thank you. Apologies there. Ray and Eric have been faithful parts of the director team. They live up in Oklahoma City. And they're all in. I mean, they they are in their church. They are incredibly active in the church and the things that they're doing, but they continue to just want to be a part of this and support. And more than support, they're like right in the middle of it with us. And it's awesome. They are our head counselors, which is a big job because all those counselors that are college age, they take support. When you get kids that, you know, are going to distract and take everybody away, our head counselors will step in. In the middle of the night, if something crazy is going on, our head counselors will step in and make sure that... So they've got oversight of all of the counselor components of the camp. And oh, by the way, it's all about the campers, so that's a huge job. And they do it, and they love it, and they stay up way too late and work way too many hours to make it all happen. But we so appreciate it. And they're year-round with us, so it's not just that camp.
Yeah, they do a group in their home week to week, don't they? And,
yeah.
And for every camp, they show up with two carloads of kids from there.
From Oklahoma.
That's Liberty Youth North up there.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma City.
Yep. Absolutely. And please be in prayer for Eric. Not to get a bunch of personal stuff, but he's trying to pass a kidney stone, and he said, if you guys have ever played that game, he said that's the most excruciating pain he's ever had in his entire life. So he's still working on that, so please be in prayer for Eric right now as he's trying to make that happen. Lord, please make that happen. Yes, sir.
How many kids this time were their first time?
30-ish. About almost. Well, we had 70 there, so 30 were first-timers. And a lot of those were younger, which means they'll continue and hope. And some of them have siblings, younger siblings. So there were younger families that were involved as opposed to just our families, the younger group families that are still going up through. Yeah, awesome. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for just being able to see the smiling faces and hear the stories. And Father, thank you for the Oldwood story. The one that we, as believers, have to continue to remember. And help us, Father, to not only remember our own salvation and the amazing gift and grace and love that you've shared for us, but help us to remember to share that with others and to remember that because of all you do for us, it should be so easy to glorify you. But in our nature, we need you to even do that. So, Father, we ask that the Spirit will take these things that we've talked about today, that they will motivate us, that they will encourage us, that they will help us to remember who you are and all that you do for us in everything. And so, Father, I pray as we walk out of here today, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do it to your glory. In Christ's name, amen.